My name is Lawrence.
And I'm Sophie.
And we're renovating a house, which if you'd got this far in the podcast onto our Christmas special episode, you probably already know.
I'd hope they know that.
So in the previous episodes, I think maybe 3 or 4 months ago, we were at, just done our groundwork and moved on to a builder to build the rest of the extension block work, the first floor and the second floor.
Yeah, just the shell, the building work, to get it watertight and ready for us to take over the internals, really.
Yeah, and we have a small disclaimer about this episode.
I've taken down the last episode because we shared who our last builder was and we shared our opinions on them at the time, which were actually really good. Our opinions aren't the same now, so we've just taken it down just to
avoid just any issues that we may have.
Yeah, we don't want anyone following our advice from that, or we don't want to get into any sticky situations. So we're starting fresh with our now opinions on the situation.
Yeah, the aim of this podcast is not to badmouth or try and insult any particular company or business. What we're trying to do is give you the advice and the experience that we've got from our quite harrowing situation and hopefully help you all out there so that you know what to do if it ever happens to you.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Thanks. Welcome to Under the Rubble, where we talk you through renovating our 1930s property with no idea what we're doing.
We take you through our experiences, our mistakes, and the stuff you really want to know, like how to deal with the stress of a 9-to-5 job, renovating in the evenings, and still manage to function as a human being.
Or what do you do if your tradesperson has disappeared with your money, or how to cope if your plasterer starts randomly freestyling in your living room.
Or how did we build our social media following to 25k in just 6 months?
I'm Lawrence, and this is Soph.
And we hope this helps you along your renovation journey.
Under the rubble, under the rubble, under the rubble, under the rubble. Okay, some of the exciting bits.
What have we been doing?
What have we been doing? So, as I mentioned in the little pre-lib bit, first and second brickwork has been completed. You don't like the term pre-lib? Is it pre-lim? You're right, it's preliminary, isn't it?
Oh.
Pre-lim.
And you're dyslexic, so yeah, you don't know either.
So, we have, as I mentioned in the beginning bit, we've been doing the first and the second floor and the back, which will be our kitchen, of our house.
So you mean double story, side extension, rear single extension. See, I know all the lingo.
If
now.
You would like to put it in technical terms, yes.
You're
please
just like,
do.
There's one floor, and then there's brick, and then another floor.
Some say ground floor, you know? And we also made a big decision on whether to go bifolds or patio doors.
That was a huge decision. That took over our lives for about a month.
Yeah. Sophie took it on herself to completely take control of the spare room, which I did give her permission for, not that she asked for.
What do you mean? You gave me permission for?
You completely styled that whole room. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, what do you mean permission for?
Well, exactly.
Let's get into that.
Let's backtrack a little bit. If I would have had to pick a room and then just gone wild on it, would I have had to ask permission?
Oh, 100%.
So, let's just, you know, think about that.
Well, this is my interior
design. What?
And you're just a bystander in all of that.
That's what I feel about the whole of my life. Okay, so
you just fund it. You fund my dreams.
I don't even do that fully. You earn more than me. I'm here as support.
Yeah, the spare room is, I think that's a huge achievement that literally every single part of that room, you did the electrics, you did the plumbing as well. I wouldn't even know. I mean, that was painful watching you do the plumbing. But it was also painful you watching me do the plastering.
Yeah, it was. It was. at one stage, when Sophie was doing the plastering, there's a scene in Cinderella where she is cleaning the floors and the fairy godmother, the two ugly sisters and the mother-in-law. What's the woman?
The stepmom.
Come along, and she is cleaning the floor, and then they kind of like make even more mess, and she just continues cleaning it. That is how I felt when Sophie was doing the plastering. I had a bucket, a sponge, and was just cleaning up the plaster before it dried out.
Especially those first two walls, there was so much sloppage as well, because I didn't know what consistency I was making it. So I was making it really runny, because then it's easier to, you get more time to work with it. So it's just slopping everywhere. It was like going on your head.
Mm. Yeah. But I was there as support.
It was a vital role.
I'm a support role.
Yeah.
And we also have done little DIY jobs. I built a little box for my Nintendo Switch to make it more appropriate to the room.
Yeah, I don't like getting consoles out. It's basically what you're saying. Yeah. You're just trying to be polite.
And you did some little bits.
I sound like a nightmare to live with. I'm not that bad. Am I that bad? Say something.
And you did some little bits. What DIY bits did you do?
So I've upcycled our bedside tables, although I haven't actually revealed them yet, but they look really good. We did the PAX hack for other wardrobes. Mm-hmm. We put some shelves in there. We've just been doing little bits because we've been waiting for the extension for a long time now, and we can't really do a lot. We can't do the kitchen, we can't do the dining room, we can't do the hall, we can't do our bedroom because that is going to have a doorway in it. We can't do this room because that's going to be so we're kind of running out of rooms until the extension's done. So that is what we've been doing, a lot of waiting and doing little bits.
And that leads perfectly to our next topic.
It does, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the extension and the build.
Yeah, that brings us nicely onto our next topic, which is a sensitive one because it's still something that we are going through right now. So we don't want to, you know, comment too much on our position. But the situation is the last builder that we had on the property has gone into liquidation. And I think that's as far as we are going to comment on that. But we wanted to just reflag things that we have learned and things that can help people that are in the same situation as us. They might have a situation where something's going wrong with their builder, or they might have lost money, or the builder's run off, they can't contact them, they've gone into liquidation, like just any of these issues. We're hoping that this podcast is going to help you, because it seems really common as well. Like, how many people do you talk to and they're like, oh yeah, I'm on like the third builder? And it's so sad because people work so hard for their money and it's so expensive. It's just really sad, really.
We're going to hopefully give you the information that we kind of wish we would have had at the beginning of assigning a builder. At the very beginning of the journey of choosing a builder, our builder got us out of a really difficult situation with the previous contractor and helped us out, and we trusted that person. And that's our first tip, really. We over trusted this contractor, because no matter how nice or competent a contractor is, situations can always happen.
Don't take their word as truth is huge, because you don't really know them at all. They don't know you, you don't know them. All that you're bound by is a contract at the end of the day. So we want to see the best in people, we want to like believe them, but you just cannot. Just, you don't know what's going on in their lives at all. So be so careful. So careful. That is like number one. That is our worst thing about us. I think that we just trust people too much. And I think that's why we end up in these situations a lot.
The next tip we've got for you is get a contract. And in that contract, get a date of completion. We had our contract written up, and at the very beginning of the contract, it said start date. There was also a blank space at the end of completion date. We didn't press to get that filled in. We had, on all of the items on the list, a 12-week expectancy. So it was like, we're going to have the Portaloo for 12 weeks. We're going to have people on site for 12 weeks. So our assumption was that it was going to take 12 weeks. But when we came to argue that fact, we actually had no evidence to say that they ever said what date that they were going to complete by. So we felt like it was against us.
Yeah. Definitely get things agreed. You want to get how long it's going to take, and also specific breakdown of... I know we'd spoken about this before, that you want to know exactly what is included in the total cost of your quote, but you also want to know exactly how much each part of that quote is worth. So for example, on our extension, you want to know how much the block work is going to cost, how much the main roof is going to cost, how much the floor is going to cost, like how much the windows are going to... You want to know for each element, so that you, when you are paying, you want to know that you have paid the right amount for what has been done. Because if you don't have that, you could be overpaying massively and you wouldn't know, really. You're just trusting again, which don't work off of trust.
Yeah, so actually me and Sophie originally disagreed of this, because I was like, we're just annoying builders, we're just annoying plumbers by getting them to break everything down into individual bits. And I'm still like, we are probably annoying some builders by saying, oh, please, can you break it down to every step? Because they know that we want to do some things ourselves. So in their head, they're just going to lose money. But it's that realization that if you don't get it broken down, you don't know if they've done as much work as they said they'll do for their next payment.
So that also leads us on to payment-wise. I really stick with this, that you have to have stage payments. Do not pay a significant amount of money up front. Just do not do it. It is like the worst. We could have been in such a worse situation if we would have paid a big chunk of money up front. Avoid at all costs. We had one builder, this is not the same person, but they asked for 25% up front and then another 25% once the DPC had been done. We would have paid them 50% of the job just to like do the floor, just to concrete the floor and get the foundations in, which is an insane amount of money for them to have. And I know that loads of builders ask for it, but there's big companies and there are some builders that do not ask for that. We've found one now who are not asking for anything up front. So those people do exist. If they're asking you for a huge amount of money up front, there's probably a reason for it. So be warned.
There is that argument, though, that because you're using a big company, they will charge more. And that may be the case. Like, bigger companies probably will charge you more. But you have more reliability.
Security.
And you have more security.
Yeah.
So it's whether you weigh up. You could be really lucky and pick a really good young starter company that does need some money up front. They actually do physically need some money up front, but you may be unlucky.
It's a risk.
It is a risk.
The risk is higher. And we are buggers for this one. So when we got quotes, we would look at the ones at the bottom end. We would look at who's the cheapest.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Like, and they always say, don't go for the cheapest quote. And we'd always be like, oh, it'll be fine. The person seemed nice. It doesn't matter how nice they are. Don't go for the cheapest quote. Like, just don't. Because if it's too good to be true, it normally is. And we have been at that lower end.
Yeah.
Maybe not the lowest one every time, but it's been down the bottom. We've had quotes that are middle and high, and we've ignored them completely. And we're always in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a massive fault of ours. Like, we need to stop doing that. And we have stopped doing that. The next builder we have in is well known, and we know they're not cheap.
Yeah,
we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with our electrician, our plumber, we haven't picked the cheapest plumber, and we're picking them based on how reliable and if, I don't know, more on the person and the business rather than their quote. And you can't get anywhere by always picking the cheapest one.
Mm.
Trust us, please.
Yeah. And then also communication, which we mentioned several times in our last podcast that we mentioned in our last podcast. Make sure they communicate with you. And we're also really terrible at this. We do everything through our Instagram page, but it's not as reliable as getting an email.
Emails seem more formal for some reason, don't they?
I feel like because it can be used like as evidence.
I feel like you can be shouty in emails, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
But yeah, just try and get things physically written down.
Documented, yeah. Don't let anyone on your site or doing work without documented prices and contracts and stuff like that. Make sure everything is in writing, not spoken about. That's not going to help you out at all.
Yeah.
And also, if your communication changes at any point with the person, say, for example, they were really good at one point and then suddenly that you can't get hold of them, or this has happened several times to us with various tradesmen. This is not pointing at a single person. but it happens, and then they just disappear, and you're like, "What? Where have they gone?" Like, and then you call them, you message them, they don't answer. That is something that you should be concerned about.
Yeah.
We overlook that a lot, all the time. Yeah. We're just saying, "Oh, they're probably just busy or something." It's not something you should be overlooking. You are paying them for a service and a product. That's not okay for them to be ignoring you or not telling you what's going on. You're paying good money.
Yeah. And we got some really good advice, which we will pass on to you. If there is anything you're ever worried about, contact Citizens Advice or Citizen Advice Bureau. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they go by Citizens Advice?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a bureau.
Is there a bureau?
I don't know what the word bureau really means, if I'm totally honest.
But the advice we pass on is go talk to Citizens Advice. Go talk to the inspectors.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, we need to, that is a definite tip. Because the building inspectors have been so useful throughout. I mean, it probably varies depending on council and if you go private or whatever, but they are there to help you out. So you pay them and they will come out as many times as you want to check on what they're doing. You can probably find some rogue or catch out some rogue builders that way, mm-hmm. just by speaking to them.
So, main things, dates, get it all written down. Don't trust anybody. We're not trying to be cynical, but we've gone through some shit.
It's a dangerous world out there, guys. Yeah. Don't trust anyone.
The next bit we wanted to talk about, which I think was, okay, the worst has happened. Your builder's gone off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Potentially gone into liquidation.
Yeah.
What's our advice?
What do you do? So I think the first thing that you can do, and this is actually a tip and a thing that you can do all rolled into one.
Yeah, cry.
Cry. Yeah, have a cry.
Have a big old cry. But
so I'll start with the tip first. If you have found a builder that you think that you can work with, price is right, blah, blah, blah. My advice is to go on Companies House. There is free information. If you look at that builder, so just search the name and have a look at the directors. It will probably be the person who's come around and quoted to you more times than not. Have a look at that person. If you click on that person on Companies House, it will show you if they have any previous businesses and companies. So you can check if they have had previous companies that have gone into liquidation and they've started a new company, or if they haven't, how long they have been trading for. You can see their accounts and stuff, so you would know if they're in a bad financial situation or not, although I think it's only like once a year, but you know, you can try, you can have a look. So I would 1,000,000% always do that before you hire someone. Just check them out, be a detective, because you need to. And then so what happens if it goes wrong, also linked to Companies House, you can again check, you can check the status of the company, so you would know if they're active or not. And they also announce any liquidations on the, I want to say the Gazette.
Yeah.
The Gazette, and that's the first place, because Companies House doesn't get updated for like 2 weeks or something. So you can just have a scroll through, just see if your builder is on there. At least it would maybe get rid of some of your worries. If you can't find them, that's good news, I guess.
So they've gone into liquidation. What do you do now?
The first thing I would check is because me and you are lucky enough that we're in positions at work that we get free legal advice. So I would check that with your employer, because a lot of employers do have that, because it's in their interest for you not to be in financial or legal situations. So a lot of them will do that. So if you have legal advice, just speak to them to know where you stand. And if you don't, again, citizens' advice is always there if you get in a sticky situation and you don't know what to do. So there's always resources, and we will always help out. Our DMs are open. If we can help, we will.
Yeah, because most likely we've probably been through it.
Been there, done that.
The next part is you need to know how much money you've potentially lost. You have to go into mode, okay, I've lost money. It's really annoying. How much have I lost?
What is the damage?
So we then got a new quote of how much is left on the build, and we compared that to how much we would have to have paid the previous builder, and then that difference is how much money you've lost. And then you use that information to go on the creditors list for the company that's gone into liquidation.
The sad thing to note is that although you are on a list of people that they owe money to, the reality is that you probably will not see that back. The whole reason why a company goes into liquidation is because they don't have any money and they have a lot of debt. And the order in which that gets paid out, sadly, customers are at the bottom. So it is a sad situation that if this happens to you, you probably won't see that money again. So the stress on the first part of this podcast is trying to prevent it and know when stuff is going wrong and be able to identify that before you end up in this situation.
Yeah, but if you are here, we're just as sorry. yeah, it is awful, because you know that you lose money. We lose money, and then in the government's eyes or the legal justification's eyes, we're at the bottom, and we're the people that would be struggling the most.
Yeah.
The bank gets paid first, HMRC gets paid second, then big companies get paid next, and then very, 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 very last is the customer.
The people that have really been affected by it, that have, you know, like, we don't have a roof on our house.
Who's been saving all of that money to try and get their dream home.
It's incredibly sad, but that is the reality. So, and that is why we're just trying to spread some awareness.
Because it will happen, and it does happen, and there is some ways around it. So the next part is securing your property. So you don't want the builders to come onto your property anymore, because it's your place. They've gone into liquidation. They're not doing any work for you anymore. So just secure your property.
Yeah. From the point in which they go into liquidation, I can't remember the exact date or what it was, but there'll be a date of when they can no longer trade. So from that date onwards, they are not in control of the company. The liquidators are in control of the company, so therefore they should not be on your land. They shouldn't be contacting you. You only have to deal with the liquidator from then onwards. So if they continue to contact you, come to your place and stuff, they have no right to do that. You only have to deal with the liquidator. So don't get pressured. It can become quite a
volatile area.
It can become very, emotions are high, and you've just got to keep your calm, know your rights. And your right is that as soon as that date hits, you do not have to deal with them at all. So do not get pressured into it.
And the some of the advice that we got was that, I didn't actually know this until you got that advice, was that the liquidator isn't an independent body. They work for the builder. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. They're not citizens advice. They're not going to give you free advice, and they're not going to be telling you the best thing for you. They're going to be they're working on behalf of the company that they are liquidating. So just be cautious of what you are told and what they say, and know your own rights.
And the last thing I have, which isn't on the list, as Sophie's looking on the list like, what's next? There's nothing there. We've gone through it all. Is a very British method, is just keep calm. Like, you've been through a lot of stress being the only person at home doing all this stuff, and you can I'm not talking to the cats.
Well, I thought you were talking to the listener.
No, I'm talking to you. And you found it really difficult, really stressful.
I have, yeah. To the point where Lawrence might have cut this out previously in the podcast, our neighbour came round. We were cleaning out the front because our driveway's a mess. She walked past and I just broke down crying.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much and you just like get on with it. You have to just, it's out of our hands and you just have to keep going. And it just like, I bottle it up a bit and I just, cried to our neighbour.
Yeah. But it's just important that any loved ones that you got around with you, just make sure they're all right.
Yeah. Yeah. If it is happening to somebody you know, be sympathetic towards them, because it is a horrible, horrible situation. Yeah. And you don't know, it might leave them in a financial situation where they cannot finish what they're doing, where they have to take out loans and credit cards, and like it can make people spiral and get into so much financial issues.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you know anyone that's happening to, give them a hug.
Yeah. Maybe a penny.
Yeah, and probably slip them a fiver or something.
A penny for their woes. Should we end on a high?
Go on.
We haven't prepared any of this, so I'm just going to free ball.
Terrifying when this happens.
You love it. You love it.
Yeah.
So the extension is just being built. And when that is built, let's look to the future. What's the first room you're going to look into build to start styling? Where are you first thinking?
Yeah, I've had a long time to think about this, obviously.
Yeah.
Been in the house nearly 2 years now. I don't know. I think I'm most excited for the kitchen, the diner, the back room. It's gonna be so epic. I can't lie. But I'm also intrigued about your room. So Lawrence really wants, so we've got two extra rooms going over what was our garage. So we'll now be a four bed and we're now a three.
And as the contract that I signed for buying this house with Sophie, I was always allowed one room. As long as I asked permission, I was allowed one room to style however I wished.
And I get to pick the room.
And Sophie gets to pick which room, but...
The downstairs toilet.
Once I'm in there, it is all mine.
I can imagine if I gave you the downstairs toilet, you'd literally be in that room, just like reading a book or with your Switch. You'd be like, this is my room, get out.
Get out.
Yeah.
I get the only toilet of the house.
But I'm actually really intrigued to see what you do, because you've spoken about making it like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, if you've ever been to IKEA, right, there was a man's room in IKEA, which makes it sound weird, it had like shirts completely folded up, and then it had drawers that had like all of their watches and all of their belts. I have one watch.
It was very
and one belt.
Like, I have to be careful about how I say this, because I'm like picturing like Mr. Grey, but not the naughty bits, as in like that he would like have a walk-in wardrobe that had all of his fancy watches and fancy ties. Like, I'm not talking Anne Summers.
That's how Sophie sees the room, and I see the room more as Kingsman.
Oh yeah, the Kingsman.
If you've ever seen the film The Kingsman, it's all very gentlemanly, all very nice suits, but secretly you press a button and there's a gun there.
Oh, no, I'm not unsure about that.
Secretly, you press a button and there's a Lego toy there.
Yeah, that is more like it. But yeah, I'm excited to see about that. I'm excited about the kitchen. We still cannot pick a colour for the kitchen diner. which is really frustrating me because I come up with an idea. This is one of the worst traits about you, I'm just going to say. You know what I'm going to say.
I do know what you're going to say.
That I come up with an idea and I'm like, oh, look at this orange kitchen. Let's go for a terracotta kitchen. You go, no, ugly. Not having that. That's disgusting. And a few weeks go past and I'm like, okay, we'll not get the orange kitchen. So let me look elsewhere. Oh, I found this really nice green one now. I show you the green one and you go, no, I really like the orange one. And you're like, look at this orange one. And I'm like, I was on the orange hype a month ago. Like, why? And you said you hated it.
I just need time.
Why do you do that?
I just need time to think about it. I mean, what normally happens is you just beat me down. But then you're like, oh, I've given up. But at the end, you probably already won.
I'm over it now. Yeah, exactly. I'm over the orange kitchen.
I'm just your filter. That's what I am.
What do you think about a green kitchen?
Though? I hate it.
Exactly. But we'll do another podcast. We'll start it up next year and we'll have a green kitchen and you'll be like, oh, green kitchen's lovely. I love it. I'm so glad that Sophie said about the green kitchen.
It's because initially we wanted a black kitchen, but you went off that idea.
Well,
and I was on that idea.
I've seen so many black kitchens.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
We love to be unique, but
you love to be unique. I love to be unique, but they're completely different uniques. They're completely mine's just like, God, that is just too many things piled together. Well, if you put wallpaper and then the floor is gold?
It's yours is. Oh, that's unique. Whereas mine's like, oh, that's unique.
Yeah.
That's the perfect way to describe it, isn't it? Oh, that is different.
Okay, so yeah, you are looking forward to that, so that's good.
And you?
What am I looking forward to? Trying to host a Christmas and being able to have everybody in our family there.
Yeah.
Because that would be really nice.
That was our plan for this year, and obviously that has not happened.
No downers. We're on the up now. No more downers.
No, but I'll sandwich it with this is like the ham of the sandwich. We've gone for the high, and we've gone, oh, but we were going to have Christmas here, and we're not. But next year is our year.
Yeah, next year is our year.
Yeah.
And we're going to, this year, oh, I'll do a sad one then. Oh, this year, we didn't even have a Christmas tree because, we didn't want to, we were worried about money. So we didn't want to buy one. And we had a plastic one that the cats had previously ruined. And it was still ruined. We put it up and it was just so sad. So we took it back down.
Yeah, it was, the branches were going the wrong way. Like, because the cats just couldn't leave it alone.
Mm.
And you were like, bending them back into place every 5 seconds, so we just gave up in the end.
Yeah.
But actually, I've just thought of another bonus tip. Right at the end, just sneaking that in there.
Go on.
Because you said about money and struggling for money, which we now sadly are. Excel spreadsheet the shit out of it.
Sophie's nickname at school was Spreadsheet.
No, it wasn't. You started calling me Spreadsheet at university. Nobody called me that.
Sophie's nickname at university was Spreadsheet.
And you called me that, and nobody else called me Spreadsheet.
Someone else called you that, I'm sure.
Nobody.
There was one other person that called you that, I'm sure. Yeah, Sophie loves a spreadsheet, and I do too. Yeah. To be fair,
we've got like all of our incomings.
Although, do you know what annoys me about this spreadsheet?
Oh, go on.
Is when something happens, like for example, if I save an extra bit of money 1 month. And put it into an account. And I'm like, oh, Soph, I've saved this extra bit of money. It went in the spreadsheet two days ago.
I know.
She's immediately. And I'm like, oh, we can add it to the spreadsheet. Yeah, we could. I've already done it.
Yeah.
And I've already taken that into account. And I've already spent it on Windows. So see you later.
We're already £21,000 short. So do you have any more that's coming in? No? Okay, pipe down. Yeah, the second it hits your account or I hear of it, it's in. We have like checks and stuff that haven't even been paid in yet, but they've been accounted for.
I spend them.
But yeah, do a spreadsheet because it's really good at letting you know where you can get what you have money for, how much you need to save up for the next bit. And it gives us peace of mind as well because in this situation, like financially, we were like, where do we stand? So we've now got our new quote. We know how much we have. We know how much other things are going to cost, so we know exactly where we can get to. So it just eases your mind, rather than if I didn't have that, I'd be clueless about what we can afford. What we would just be running out of money and not being able to pay people.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, we won't.
But it's also scary to look at. So yeah, don't terrible. Think about how much money you're spending. Yeah.
Also, like, loads of people agree to things without knowing how they're going to find the cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. Like, I think I said about it about 6 months ago on our Instagram, and I was like, how do people like agree to these things, and where do they get the money from? And my cousin messaged me, and she was like, we always agree to stuff and have absolutely no idea how we're going to get the cash, but it just all works out. And somehow it does. But an Excel spreadsheet certainly helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Good tip.
Yeah. I'll show you mine.
No.
Well, not... No, I'll don't tell show... The, I'll take the stuff out.
What? But well, what's the point template. Of it if there's no stuff in it?
Well, you put your own figures in, but I'm not going to, like, keep bar figures in it.
Mm, okay.
Not that it matters anyway. I don't care if people know how much it costs.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, not how much it costs, but how much money is in my savings account.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a bit too far, yeah. Okay, you got me there.
So, thank you for listening, everybody out there. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Wonder how many times in podcasts it said that at the very end, especially over this Christmas period.
Yeah, however you are choosing to spend your Christmas, I hope you have a good break from all the DIYs. We are definitely going to have a break. My parents have just had puppies, so we're puppy sitting. But then we will be straight back at it in January, hopefully with an extension ready to go in February.
Goodbye, all.